Hope it's been an extended Sunday. I try to extend my Sunday right into Wednesday best I can. We had our last grief class yesterday. I hope anyone that was there was a blessing to you. I know it's been a blessing to me. Learned a lot, not only for perspective on grief that I've had, but also for the future. A lot of Bible, and there's a lot of good meat that I got that I think, A, would help me in the future if I have to grieve or if I can be a help to anybody. So anyway, it was that. I hope it was a help to you as much as it was to me. All right, so we're going to sing some a cappella here, so I'm going to ask you all to help me out. I'm trying to sing some different songs here tonight. I know them pretty well, but help me out. We're going to sing a cappella, if you would. Stand with me and turn to page 334. We're going to sing, Oh, Say But I'm Glad. Page 334. There is a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away.
Jesus.
Sing Sweet Hour of Prayer, since it's prayer meeting tonight. Sweet Hour of Prayer. Alright, what's that first verse?
Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer that calls me from a world of care and gets me
Proverbs 14:34. We're going to go over to 2 Peter tonight. That's where we'll be this evening, continuing our study in 2 Peter. But before we get into that tonight, I want to read these three verses, starting in Proverbs 14:34. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. Proverbs 14:34. Bible says this, says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Okay? Then take your Bible and go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse number 11. Hold your hand there in Proverbs because we'll come right back to it. But 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11. All right. So righteousness exalts a nation, sins a reproach. And look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. The Bible says here, it says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy." I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. I'm in chapter 11, verse number 2. My bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. My mind's a little scattered tonight because of the message. It's a little scattered tonight just because of what we're going to look at in 2 Peter tonight and some things that come along with it. It's pretty weighty. And so we're going to be looking at some scriptures tonight to give the whole context. But I wanted to start with these three verses. And it talks about how righteousness exalts a nation but sins a reproach to any people. Okay, and then we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11, it talks about Satan. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, all right? So we going into this tonight, and I think we already realize this, that Satan is looking to get an advantage over us. Not the world, but us as believers. Lest Satan should get advantage of us. And then he says this, for we are not ignorant. Ignorant of what, Paul? We're not ignorant of his devices, okay? So Satan desires to get an advantage, but Paul says we're not to be ignorant of his devices. All right, now go back to Proverbs again and look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 4. All right, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number, Proverbs 15 verse 4. Look what the Bible says here. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in spirit. Tying all these together, now righteousness exalts a nation, sins a reproach to any people. So if you have a sin, it's a reproach. What brings up and what strengthens a nation is righteousness. Then we looked over at 2 Corinthians and we realized that we don't need to be ignorant of Satan's devices because he desires to get an advantage over us. Then we go back to Proverbs and it talks about our tongue, what we say, how we act and how we conduct ourselves and how if there's perverseness in our tongue, word perverseness is not necessarily meaning something sexual or lustful. It just means something that's forward or against, like a rebellious type of a tongue of, I'm not going to do what you're telling me to do. Perverseness therein. And when that comes out the mouth, it produces a breach in the spirit. Now, we got to be careful because if we have a breach in the spirit, we have the devil out there, Satan, trying to get an advantage over us. If there's a breach, that means there's a hole. And if he comes in that hole, usually probably mean that sin is entailed with it. And if sin comes along with it, then it's not going to exalt the nation. See how they all go hand in hand, how it's tied together. The last verse, look over at Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Proverbs 25 and verse number 28. Last verse in Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, 28. All right, so we see that a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverse and snare is a breach in the spirit. Look at Proverbs 25, 28. He that hath no rule, which means he can't control his spirit. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like what? It's like a city that is broken down and without walls. So we have two verses in Proverbs talking about a breach because of our mouth. And then we have here another verse in Proverbs talking about an individual who can't control their spirit. Basically, they can't control their emotions. They're ruled by their emotions and how they feel. And it comes out in every instance. A person that can't control their spirit is like a city that's broken down and has no walls. So the enemy, we looked at 2 Corinthians, he's looking to get an advantage of us. The way he gets the advantage of us today, I believe, is by us not being able to have control over our own spirit. If we can't control our spirit, then the enemy knows how to push the right buttons and gets us to react before sometimes we even realize we're reacting. And when that reaction comes out, oftentimes it's sin. So when that sin comes forth, it's a reproach and the nation's not going to be exalted. Now, brethren, as we go over, take your Bible now and look back over to 2 Peter chapter 2. Last week we talked about Balaam and how he came in and Balak wanted Balaam to curse the nation of Israel as they came out of Egypt. We talked about Balaam, how he was sort of a false prophet. 2 Peter chapter 2 goes on to say about false teachers. But look back here at 2 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse number 13 again. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 13. Which have forsaken the right way, talking about false teachers, they've forsaken the right way and are gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of righteousness and was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice for bad, the madness of the prophet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning and this evening, dear God. I pray, clear my mind, dear Lord, just help, just give wisdom, guidance, and direction. Lord, that what needs to be said is said, dear God, and what doesn't need to be said isn't. And Lord, that you would be glorified through it all, dear God, and it would help us to be aware of the enemy's devices. And Lord, that we would fight the good fight, Lord, and Lord, live a righteous life in the hopes of exalting our nation. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we go looking through this evening, I want you to keep this in the back of your mind, because I believe this very strongly this evening. I don't believe tonight, I believe it's an issue, don't get me wrong, I think it's an issue and I think it's a problem. But I think our issue and problem tonight is not our government. And I'm going to try to prove it tonight. Do I think the government has problems and issues? Absolutely. But I think it's deeper than that. Okay? I think it's deeper than who and what is our government today, whether it's federal, local, or state. Okay? I think it's a lot deeper than what we see on the face of things. Remember, what exalts a nation? Righteousness. Righteousness. The righteousness of God exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to whoever you are, to any people. Okay? So sin, a government doesn't bring a nation down. Sin does. What destroyed Rome? Sin. They destroyed themselves from within because of their covetousness, because of their greediness, because of their lustfulness, because of their perverseness. And brethren, that is the state of our country today. Our problem is not our government. Our problem is our morality. And our morality is destroying us, and that filters over into the government. The government is just the representation of its citizens. It's just the representation of who we are as a country. They're crooked. Well, so is the country. So is our neighbors. So are businesses. So are some of our lost loved ones. Okay? So it's not so much that, and I want to get to a point with this tonight for us to realize what the true problem is. Go back now to Numbers chapter 25. We're going to finish up the back end here of Balaam and look at some things here with Balaam tonight. What did Balaam do? He loved the wages of unrighteousness. What do a lot of churches today out here in mainstream? A lot of them are about money, and Peter talks about them making merchandise of you. Well, Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness, okay? But Balaam realized, though, that he couldn't curse the nation of Israel. But Balaam was a little weasel, all right? Balaam was a weasel. Balaam wasn't some upright man trying to strive to live for God. He used enchantments. You know, enchantments are the foretelling of future events or discovering things secret or obscure by the aid of superior beings or by other human means. That's divination. Enchantments is this: the act of providing certain wonderful effects by the invocation or aid of demons. So Balaam used enchantments. He used basically witchcraft in the way he worked things out. Balaam was not a good guy. But God dealt with Balaam, and we realized that last week when his ass donkey spoke to him and said, "What are you doing?" It kind of woke him up because God was getting ready to take him out. So Balaam was smart enough to realize, this is not going to work for me to curse him because God's not going to let me curse him. But Balak had promised him honor. He promised him money. He promised him promotion, and that got Balaam. He's like, "Man, I got to have that." So you know what he did? After they were done with what they were doing, Balaam goes to Balak, "Hey, come here, let me talk to you a second. Now listen, I can't curse him. God won't let me curse him, But let me tell you how you bring them down. You get them to sin, and when you get them to sin, God will deal with them. That's how you'll get to destroy them. Because look at Numbers chapter 25, verse 1. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit what? Whoredoms. Numbers 25, 1. With the daughters of who? Moab. So as soon as Balaam and Balak are off the scene, all of a sudden now we find the children of Israel running into sin, falling into sin. What kind of sin? The sin of whoredoms by the daughters of Moab. Look at verse 2. And they called the people on the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods, and Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. So Israel, brethren, now Israel to me tonight is like a picture of the church. Saved believers, they come out of Egypt, they come out of the world, they get saved, and now they're moving on, and God desires for us to get in that promised land where we're trusting Him, we're fighting these battles, and now Israel's coming out, and as they're coming out, they run into issue with Moab. Moab, the king there, Balak says, you know what, I'm going to follow what Balaam said, and I'm going to send my daughters, some pretty girls down in there to the nation of Israel, try to get a hold of their son's attention, and they commit whoredoms with those daughters of Moab. And not only did they do that, the Bible says in verse number 2, and they called the people unto the sacrifice of their gods. So now they're taking God's people, they get some of the sons to commit whoredoms with their daughters. Then they bring them in and say, come on and let's sacrifice to our gods together. You're just like us. We both love the Lord. My great-great-great-great-granddaddy was Lot. He was with Abraham. Come on, we're brethren. Come on, sacrifice to our gods. And he gets them to do that. To the point to where the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And Balaam says to Balak, see, I told you. See, now God's, look, didn't you want God, didn't you want me to curse him? Look, God's now judging him. Take your Bible, look over at Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse number 14. Revelation, chapter 2 and verse number 14. What I'm saying this evening, as we're looking at Balaam, and these false prophets and false teachers that try to creep into our lives, Satan's trying to use them to get us to sin to where then God brings in judgment upon us. Not to where we lose our salvation, but to where we're chasing and hopefully maybe get to a point to where we just quit. Satan can't take us out of the race. If you're saved tonight, Satan cannot remove you from the race. But what he can do is he can vex you. He can get on you. He can provoke you to get you to the point where you sin. And then hopefully when you're in that point, it won't just be one sin. It'll be another sin. And then he'll get you to the point where he'll whisper in your ear, you can't go back. You've already gone too far. You might as well do this now because you've already done this and this. Okay, I give up. I've already gone back on God. I might as well go ahead and give myself to this as well. And you keep going further and further before you realize that you try to turn around and the devil's like, you ain't never getting back. Why don't you just quit? Yeah, I just quit. And the devil's like, all right, I got him out of the race. All right, look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. This is to a church, to the church of Pergamos. And look what the Lord says to them in verse number 4 of chapter 2. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught, look what he says, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. Look what they did, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. You see what Balaam did? He taught Balak how to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. And the devil today is using false teachers, false prophets. He's teaching them, he's guiding them how to bring stumbling blocks in the pathway of true believers to get them to stumble and commit fornication and sacrifice things unto idols. He's trying to get them to sin. Okay? Brethren, when we sin, we lose power with God. When we sin, we lose fellowship with the Lord. It doesn't affect our standing, but it affects our fellowship with God. until we get that thing right and under the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's, we're not ignorant. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the enemy's devices. Now, take your Bible and look over at 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse number 5. 2 Kings chapter 23, and I want you to look at verse number 5. 2 Kings 23, verse 5. This stumbling block of Baal, or however you say it, Baal, was a constant problem for the nation of Israel, especially the northern kingdom of Israel. This worship of Baal, these are God's people. We're not talking about the heathen. We're talking about God's people, the Jewish people. Look at 2 Corinthians 23:5. And he put down the idolatrous priest whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burn incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to the, all the host of heaven. These are God's people. This is not the heathen. This is God's people burning incense, burning things to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the planets, and all the host of heaven. Jump over to verse number 11, same chapter. Look down at verse number 11. And he took away the horses. This is Josiah doing this. Josiah the king. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun. At the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chambers of Nathan Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. I'm getting to a point tonight. You have the nation of Israel, God's people, serving false gods and worshiping them. Take your Bible, 2 Kings, jump back a few chapters to chapter number 17. 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 16. 2 Kings 17, 16. 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 16. Look what happens here with the nation of Israel. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal. These are God's people. They left the commandments of God to serve false gods. Now, look over at Jeremiah chapter 32. You say, preacher, what's so bad about that? Well, it gets pretty bad because of what they're doing. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 35. What's wrong with offering incense to false gods? What's wrong with setting up molten images? What's wrong with going after Baal Peor? What's wrong with some of these other ways of trying to worship the God of heaven? Look at Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse number 35. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I command them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Israel's already bad. Now Judah's fallen to the same trap that her sister fell into up there in Israel, up in the northern part of the kingdom. What did they cause them to do? They caused their children to pass through the fire unto Molech. You can cross-reference with that verse back over, look back over to Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse number 31. Looking at some Bible tonight because it's needful to look at Scripture tonight. Look what Jeremiah chapter 7, look what Jeremiah says in verse number 31. Jeremiah 7:31. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Brethren, I cannot imagine taking my child, my son or my daughter, when they're a baby, and offering it to a false god to where they burn in a fire. You say, preacher, that's not what he means. No, that's exactly what it means. they took those babies and they offered them as sacrifices to the god of Molech. You say, preacher, how could it get that bad? Because of a little sin that they let creep in that they weren't aware of. That they didn't obey what God told them to do. Remember what Jeremiah said? They put away the kings. They put away the commandments and they chose to go and worship how they thought they should worship rather than how God is telling them they need to worship. They neglected the scriptures. They neglected the leadership and the guidance of Aaron and Moses and the high priest and the Levitical the line there, and it got corrupted by Balaam coming in, getting them to sin by committing fornications and offering sacrifices to idols and devils. And God comes in and judges them, and I guarantee you, those Jewish people that loved God at some points never thought they would get to a moment in their life or in their history where they would take their own babies and offer them to false gods to burn them. Tophet means this. It means a drum. The word Tophet, it's not mentioned hardly at all in the Bible. But where it is, it means a drum. So what do you mean by a drum? The reason it means a drum, it means because the cries of the children here sacrificed by the priest of Molech were drowned by the noise of such an instrument. They would get the music going so loud, the drums going so loud, that it would help when they went to offer that sacrifice of their children to not hear the cries of the young ones. I told you, Brother Knight, this is a heavy message. It's a very heavy message. I'm reading through this and I'm studying it and I'm thinking, Lord, help us. Because righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And Paul tells the church there at Corinth, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the enemy's devices. How he's going to try to creep in and get into your life and cause you to do things or the possibility to get to a point in your life to where you thought you would never do what you're doing. You say, a preacher, a Christian can't do that. Yes, a Christian can. A Christian can do some pretty wicked things. Because you still have flesh. And if all you feed is your flesh, you don't realize where that can take you. Just like the children of Israel. I guarantee you, they never thought they'd get to a point to where they'd offer their kids to false gods. But they got to that point. They got to that point. Take your Bible, and I want you to look over at 1 Kings chapter 18, very familiar story in the Bible. Elijah here. I want to show you some things here in 1 Kings chapter number 18 real quick tonight, if you don't mind. 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah just got done dealing with Ahab. And if you look at 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 17, you find this discourse with Ahab, the king of Israel. Ahab had been looking for Elijah. Obadiah found him, was scared that once he told that Ahab would kill him because he thought Elijah would go hide himself again. But Elijah didn't. Elijah kept his word and met up with Ahab. And look at 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Now, hold your hand there and look back again over at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. Now, Ahab was a wicked king, but he was a king over Israel, God's people. Okay? Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. And many shall follow the pernicious ways. Look what it says. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You go back over to 1 Kings again. What is Ahab? What is first thing Ahab says to Elijah, a man of God, a man that's serving God, a man that loves God, one of the top prophets in the Old Testament? The first thing Ahab says to him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" You're the problem. Elijah, you're the problem. You're the one causing all these problems in Israel. No, it's not the enchantments that we're doing. It's not the divination we're doing. It's not offering our kids to the false gods and sacrificing them. No, that has nothing to do with what's going on with Israel. It's Elijah's problem because he loves God. You see, brethren, the closer we draw to God, the more we love the Lord, and the more we love His Word, the more the world's going to look at us as the problem. It's coming, brethren. It's coming, and I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet that they've outlawed the King James Bible. Now, some of the other Bibles, I don't think they got so much of an issue with it because they're easy to deal with. But that Bible right there, I'm surprised. And it wouldn't surprise me if in the near future they say, you can't use that Bible because it's bigotry. Because it's a racist Bible. It puts people down. It doesn't lift people up. So it's illegal. The way of truth is evil spoken of. What happens with Elijah when he meets Ahab? You're the one causing trouble here in Israel. Are you serious, Ahab? Are you really serious? Because look at verse number 18. Thank God for Elijah. And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord." And look what happened. And thou hast followed Balaam. That's just the plural for Baal. All the false gods. Elijah calls him out and says, "No, Ahab, you're the problem because you're serving all these false gods." Verse number 19. "Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel on the Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on the Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. All right. Elijah gets to the point. He said, "Listen, Ahab, get your 450 prophets, bring them down here. 400 prophets that worship in the groves, bring them down in here. We're going to have a little testing time here." And then he says, "Gather all the nation of Israel and bring them to me." And when all the nation of Israel comes to Elijah, Elijah tells the people, he says, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" He calls the people of God out and he says, "How long are you going to stay right in the middle between two opinions? Choose this day who you're going to serve. If God's the Lord, then serve him. But if Baal's the Lord, then serve him. Stop playing this middle game of mushing everything together and get on either God's side or go on and just serve straight witchcraft. But stop this intermingling of it to where it seems like I'm a Christian, I'm following God, yet I'm still following the things and the ways of the world, and you confuse others who might be trying to live for God." That's one of the reasons why the church has lost some of its power, is because Christians, believers, are intermingling themselves with things they ought not to be intermingling themselves with. Brethren, I'm telling you this tonight, this is a serious message. This is a very serious message. I had something come across my path, and I wasn't looking for it, but I started looking at it. And as I was watching it, they had the lyrics up on it while it was playing. And as it was playing, I started, because sometimes when you hear a song, you don't really understand what they're saying because sometimes it moves so fast and then the words jumble together. But the lyrics were actually on the screen on this. And I said, "Oh," I said, "excuse me? This is what this thing's saying?" I'm going to read it to you. And these are the lyrics of the song. "I see what's happening, yeah. You're face to face with greatness and its strength. This individual is talking to another individual, and it's referring to itself as the face with greatness and of strength. You don't even know how you feel talking. This thing is talking to this other thing. It's adorable. Well, it's nice to see that humans never change. Open your eyes and let's begin." Any verses come to mind with that statement right there? "Open your eyes and let's begin. Ye shall be as gods, and your eyes shall be opened." Open your eyes, let's begin. Yeah, it's really me. I'm not going to say its name. Breathe it in. I know it's a lot, the hair and the bod. When you're staring at a demigod, do you know what a demigod is? A demigod is this. It is part human and part divine offspring of a deity and a human. That's a demigod. That's what the word means. It means or a human or non-human creature that is accorded divine status after their death. Or someone who has attained the divine spark, spiritual enlightenment. Spiritual enlightenment. That's a demigod. That's not a good thing. That's, to me, something from the devil. Okay, you're not going to find God uplifting demigods in the Bible. And ye shall be as gods. When you're staring at a demigod, what can I say except you're welcome? He goes, after he says that he's a demigod, he says, what can I say except you're welcome? For the tides, the sun, the sky, hey, it's okay, you're welcome. He's basically saying, I made the sun, I made the tides, I made the sky. It's just ordinary demigod. Hey, what has two thumbs and pulled up the sky when you're waiting, yay, hi, this guy? When the nights got cold, who stole you fire from down below? You're looking at him, yo. Oh, also, I lasso the sun. You're welcome to stretch the days and bring you fun. Also, I harness the breeze. You're welcome to fill your sails and shake your trees. So what can I say except you're welcome? For the islands I pulled from the sea, there's no need to pray. It's okay. You're welcome. Ha, I guess it's just my way of being me. You're welcome. Welcome. Come to think of it, kid, honestly, I go on and on. I can explain every natural phenomenon. This individual, this demigod, is coming across to this other individual as if they were the God that created everything that they saw. That's the gist of these lyrics. Everything you've seen, I did it, and guess what? You're welcome. The tide, the grass, the ground, oh, I was just messing around. I killed an eel. I buried its guts, sprouted a tree. Now you got coconuts. What's the lesson? What is the takeaway? Don't mess with when he's on his breakaway. And the tapestry here on my skin, referring to his tattoos that's all over him, is a map of the victories I win. Look where I've been. I made everything happen. Look at me. And I'm not going to read the rest of it. You know how many views that got on YouTube? Over 1 billion views. And that's a Disney movie for kids. Preacher, I don't understand why my child's doing this. Preacher, I don't understand why these things are happening in my life. Maybe there's false gods. Brethren, that's blasphemous. Blasphemous. Yet, that's a little kid's movie. You know what the number one Disney most viewed video is on Disney? Frozen. 2.6 billion views. And that's another movie I wouldn't give you a dime for because of the stuff that's in it. Brethren, I said this the other day, and I'm serious as I can be. I'm as serious as I can be. It's made my stomach sick all night before I even came to church tonight. This thing has burdened me down so much, I can't even begin to explain how much of a burden this is. Because, brethren, we let things creep into our homes, and we say when we get to a point, just like the children of Israel let creep in, Balaam gave Balak the right thing, he sent in his daughters, they corrupted the men there in Israel, and they got them to worship strange gods, and God brought the judgment in upon them, and then it got so bad that they never got rid of Baal, to where it got some point in the nation of Israel to where they're offering their kids to Molech and burning them in the fire. You say, preacher, how did it get to that point? It started off with little things that caused them to sin, and they never got it right. Brethren, God does not put up with witchcraft. That's one thing that I know growing up, because there was somebody very close to me in my life that was involved in a lot of witchcraft. And you know what? Some of their favorite things to do was to watch Disney stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. Time out a second. there's some old, old Disney stuff that necessarily isn't quite wrong and okay. And one of them is that Disney put out a thing on Davy Crockett. But a lot of stuff that Disney puts out, especially today, is straight up devil worship. I haven't seen this. I've seen commercials for it. Sometimes it pops up when I'm out and about or watching some other things on YouTube. It happened. It came out this year, earlier in the summer, that Disney's pushing hard, called Loki. Loki is this. He's a god. He's a mythological god. And look at some of his abilities. Some of his abilities. Now, this is one of the top. What is it here? The latest Nelson report, talking about this movie, show, whatever it is, Loki. The latest Nelson report on viewership for streaming television shows stated that Loki was viewed 813 million minutes viewed from July 28th to July 4th, making it the most viewed show of the week by a considerable margin despite having only premiered 4 episodes. The next week when it premiered, the show Loki, guess was what second to it? A show called Lucifer, which has been dominating the streaming television market for viewerships for several weeks. Loki is a product of Disney. Look what this man has in his show. His abilities include astral projection, shape-shifting, hypnosis, molecular rearrangement, energy blast, levitating, conjuration, cryokinesis, telekinesis, and teleportation. Now, I didn't know what some of those words meant, so I went and looked them up. The word conjuration means a magical incantation or spell. Cryokinesis is a psionic ability to reduce the kinetic energy of atoms, thereby causing objects to cool or freeze. Right, so this individual, Loki, has the ability to basically freeze things. Frozen. What does a girl have the ability to do? From what I can gather, I never watched the movie. She has the ability to freeze things. Who dwells in the north? Santa Claus. Who dwells in the north according to the Bible, where it's frozen? God. Brethren, do you not see the connections? Do you not see the connections? What does 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 say? We're not ignorant of his devices. And you know what's killing the church today? Devices. Literal, handheld devices. Tablets, cell phones, televisions, computer screens, devices are killing the power of the church and Christians, and we wonder why we're having trouble. This is dangerous stuff. You say, preacher, I'd never do witchcraft. I'd never fall down to a false idol. But you're allowed in your house through a device. And it's the same thing in God's eyes, especially if you're taking pleasure in it. And you know who it ultimately affects? The kids. Preacher, it'd never affect the kids. It would never have an effect on them. The children of Israel said the same thing. False teachers creeping in unawares, making merchandise of you. Many shall follow the pernicious, which means destructive ways, and the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Brethren, I don't say these things lightly tonight, and I don't say them as a matter of an enjoyment of, well, I told you so, or I got you, or brethren, it just makes me sick. It makes me sick to the state because I realize to a slight extent of what it does to homes and how it destroys power in Christians' lives. The enemy of our souls, you know how much experience he has dealing with mankind? He's had 6,000 years to study us. 6,000 years to study you and me and all of us in this room. 6,000 years of experience by just watching us to know how to trip us up. Satan, brethren, get this tonight. He's took on men like Moses. He's taken on men like David and Elijah and Abraham. Satan went against Jesus Christ himself. And Paul gives a stern warning to a church that was in a mess. The Corinthian church had a bunch of issues. And Paul tells them in a letter in 2 Corinthians, says, listen, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant of his devices. Now, I'm going to say this tonight, that some of the things that I was preaching about, my flesh likes. I could fall into some of those traps that I've already talked to you about, some of these movies and some of these streaming things. My flesh would like to watch something like that, but I know in my spirit that that's not right and God is not pleased with it because it is witchcraft. It is enchantments. It is divination. You tell me a kid's Disney movie that doesn't have somebody in it casting the spell. They're very few and far between. What is the woman's name in a 101 Dalmatians? Yeah. Devil. Cruella de Vil. Don't tell me it's a coincidence. Brethren, I'm not here tonight to knock Disney. I'm just saying that's one of the big ones that has a lot of influence in some Christians' homes. Look what Elijah says to these prophets. Verse 21 and to the people. How long halt ye, verse 21, chapter 18, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And guess what happened? And the people didn't answer him a word. Well, preacher, I don't know what to say. Because if I say yes, that means I got to stop the things I'm watching. But if I say no, how long halt you between two opinions? Now, I want to close with this last thing here tonight. Jump on down to verse number 28. To make a long story short, Elijah lets the prophets of Baal go first. From the morning to night, they go crazy. They jump around. They yell. Elijah mocks them in verse number 27, saying, maybe your God's asleep and you need to yell louder to wake him up. But look at verse 28, which is very sad to me. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancelets till the blood gushed out upon them. Brethren, that's happening today. There's a lot of kids I work with, especially young girls, that are cutting themselves. We call them cutters. And they would take something not to commit suicide. They weren't trying to commit suicide. They would just cut themselves because it would give them a rush. Brethren, it's demonic. It's devilish. It's an unclean spirit. But it's the same thing you see occurring with the prophets of Baal. They start crying out. They start cutting themselves to where the blood's coming out, trying to get a hold of their false god. It reminds me of a story. I'm not going to go to it, but in Mark chapter 5, verses 5 through 19, talking about those two men that came out of the tombs there, and the Lord gives one of them deliverance. He was cutting themselves. They couldn't bind his with fetters. He'd break them. He was devil-possessed. Now, we're going to close with this last point. Look at verse number 30. Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And look what he did. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Brethren, next week we're going to further on. We're going to look at next week of how to get things back to where they need to be. And this only, brethren, I'm not saying that anybody needs this tonight, but if anybody does need this, even somebody might be watching through the live stream, I know we have some people watching there. How do you get back to where it needs to be? Well, the first thing you got to do is you got to repair the altar of the Lord. You see, with all this stuff going on, with all these false prophets and all this false teaching, the altar of the Lord had been broken down. Elijah, the first thing Elijah does is he repairs the altar that was broken down. See, the first thing we got to do tonight is we got to repair the altar. Next week, we'll go into it a little bit next week of some things that Elijah gives us here and what he does to the altar and how he puts things on the altar that I believe will help us to get us back to where we need to be if we're not there. To bringing, why do you have an altar? I'm going to close with it. Why do you have an altar? You have an altar in order to bring a sacrifice. Right? You bring us, the only reason you're building an altar is because something's getting ready to die and you're getting ready to put that thing on that altar and you're getting ready to burn it. Its blood's getting ready to get shed. It's getting ready to get burnt as a sweet smell unto God, as an offering offered up to the Lord that's pleasing in His sight. What does Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2 say? That we're to be a living sacrifice. I'm going to close with these thoughts and we're going to pick up on them, Lord willing, next week, next Wednesday on this. You see, I'm afraid, and I've said this before, I'm afraid some of us, the sacrifices that we're offering are not acceptable to God because the altar is broken down and it is unacceptable to give it to God that way. And God says, I will not receive it. It is a sacrifice I will not receive. And we're going to look at, you see, look, Elijah couldn't bring it. Elijah couldn't do what he needed to do to please God because the altar was broken down. And a lot of Christians don't realize they bring their sacrifices, they bring their offerings unto God, and God says, I'm not accepting it because it's not the proper way, and your altar is broken down. The altar is broken. God says, listen, before you offer the sacrifice, son or daughter, before you do that, I need you to fix the altar first. I need you to get back to how it's supposed to be done. Because how you're offering it now, I can't accept it. I can't accept it because it's broken down. What tripped up the nation of Israel? Sin. What trips up Christians today? Sin. False teachers coming in, wooing away believers, and wooing away some that are right there on the cusp of getting saved. And they come in there and they snag them away. Brethren, we need power. I don't know about you, brethren, tonight. I don't know about you. I know me tonight. I need God. I need a closer walk with the Lord. Brethren, I got enough problems dealing with me than bringing more stumbling blocks in my life to fall over. I have a hard enough time dealing with the guy that I look at in the mirror rather than bringing in other things that God's got to deal with as well. Again, I don't say these things tonight with an attitude or with haughtiness or an arrogancy. That's not what I want to be. I don't want to be there tonight. I say these things in all humility, but they're dangerous. They're dangerous. We just shuffle them aside as if it's something that really doesn't matter and doesn't affect us. It does. It does. You can't be involved in witchcraft. You can't allow things in your life that promote these types of things and don't think that they're never going to have consequences in our life. That is a crazy way of looking at it. It's like picking up a rattlesnake thinking he'll never bite me. You ever heard a story of a rattlesnake? Guy was outside one time in the wintertime and a rattlesnake was out there and the rattlesnake said, would you just pick me up and just hold me for a second? Just pick me up. I'm really cold. And he's like, man, I ain't picking you up, man. You're a rattlesnake. He's like, yeah, but you can see I can't move. I'm cold. I can't move in this freezing weather out here. I can't do nothing to harm you. Just pick me up just for a little bit. And he said, no, I ain't picking you up, man. You're a rattlesnake. I know what you are. I know what you can do. Oh, come on, please. Just for a moment, pick me up. The man said, oh, all right. So he reached down there and he picked him up and he's like, see, I can't do nothing. I'm stiff as a board. I can't move. I'm frozen. See, I told you I can't do nothing. He's like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you can't do nothing with me. He's like, man, just hold me a little closer to you. Just pull him in a little closer to me. And no, man, I know you're a rattlesnake. I know what you can do. Man, you can see my condition. I can't do nothing. Just pull me in a little closer. Well, all right, I'll pull you in. Before he knew it, all of a sudden, man, you just bit me. You told me. Yeah, but you knew I was a rattlesnake. That's what a lot of Christians do today. They pick something up, don't hurt them. Hold it for a little bit longer, still no hurt. Bring it a little bit closer to the heart, and then all of a sudden, you're bit, and you don't even realize it. May God help us to walk close with Him. Brethren, we're living in these last days. We're living in the last days. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back soon. Let's make sure our hearts, our homes, our minds, our lives are as clear as possible before Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Dear God, I ask for your help, Lord. Lord, I didn't mean any of these things in a condescending way tonight, dear God. Lord, these things are heavy. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that those that may have heard this message tonight, Lord, I pray they take heed to it, dear God. Lord, these things aren't light. And Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us now tonight as we go home, Lord, to meditate upon these things. Lord, I prayed in my own mind, dear God, Lord, help me, dear God, not to forget about these things, dear Lord. Lord, help me not to be, help me, Lord, to where I'm not ignorant of the enemy's devices, lest Satan should get advantage of me. Lord, help this church. Lord, help this church. Help the precious brethren here. Lord, help us, dear God, to draw closer to you, Lord. Lord, purge us, dear God. Know us. Try us, Lord. See what's in our hearts and in our minds, dear God. And the things that you revealed to us that we need to take care of, Lord, I pray that we would do so. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we wouldn't halt between two opinions. Lord, if you're revealing something to us tonight, dear God, I pray we take care of it. And Lord, that you would be glorified, magnified, and honored in our lives. Lord, that we would be that living sacrifice that would be acceptable to you. Lord, help this precious church, help these precious brethren. And Lord, I pray you give us a safe trip back home tonight. Watch over us in our cars as we drive home. Lord, just watch over us. And if it be your will, Lord, I pray you'd bring us back together on Sunday. Lord, I pray for Jason Knight and Lydia and Caleb. I pray you'd help them to feel better with the sicknesses they're dealing with. Lord, I pray for the Reno family and all that are sick there with the COVID. Dear God, I pray you continue to strengthen, encourage, and help them. Lord, I pray you'd help Mr. Nick and Miss Carol. Lord, he's been sitting up, dear God, doing a little bit better, Lord, from battling that COVID. And I pray you just continue to touch his body and encourage and strengthen him, dear Lord, and his family. And Lord knows, I pray for Julia this morning, this evening, dear God, as well. Lord, I pray you touch her little body. Lord, help the fever to go down and help her to feel better as well. And keep June and May and Johan, Lord, from getting it as well. Dear God, watch over them. And Lord, just help any others that may be sick, dear God, or struggling with spiritual issues. Strengthen and encourage them and help them, Lord, tonight. And Lord, we just pray these things now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Tonight, I'm not going to have a time of prayer tonight. Just kind of want to take these things to heart, go home, think on them, meditate on them. And love you all, and Lord willing, see you on Sunday. Amen.